A4 Podcast.
Vítajte pri podcaste Bratislavského nezávislého kultúrneho centra A4. V pravidelnom mesačnom podcaste sa budeme zaoberať tým, čo máme najradšej, súčasnou kultúrou.
Pripravujeme pre vás rozhovory a diskusie s umelkyňami a umelcami, zaujímavými hostiami a hostkami a kultúrnymi aktérmi. V novom dieli nášho podcastu sme sa bavili s dramaturgmi nezávislých kultúrnych organizácií z Holandska, Chorvátska a Slovenska o neformálnom vzdelávaní v hudbe. Diskusiu moderoval Tomáš Prištiak.
Yes, so we are sitting here with our guests from the partner organizations from the Netherlands. We have Lucas van der Velden and from the Sonic Acts Foundation, which is also a festival, and from Zagreb, an organization which is called Container, Davorka Begovic. So we came together to have a meeting, a final meeting about our project that is called Sound Experiments. And this project has been running for 2 years and was focusing on non-formal education or learning in the domain of sound experiment, obviously, but also related topics. And we tried to organize and prepare different pilot workshops or modules that we somehow put together. And it was targeted at young audience or young people who would learn something new and try to gather some experience and new skills.
Can start with Davorka. If you can tell us a little bit about your background and what do you do except this project?
Thank you for inviting me, first of all. Well, by profession I'm a musicologist. I'm working as a sound curator at Organization Container, as Slavo said. And this story of experimental music and experimental sound education for me personally and for Zagreb community started back in 2015. Out of the necessity, we kind of concluded that we really miss the different kind of musical education, that our music schools are pretty conservative and traditional. So it was and still is, I would say, based on written and composed music. It's also focused more on interpretation of some musical scores than on real sound investigations. And it's also rooted in a classical harmony rather than in some more experimental sound practices from the 20th and nowadays 21st century. So this was kind of our need to expand the music educational system in Croatia, but we also understood that it's not only in Croatia but also the broader thing and broader problematic. And then we started with some pilot workshops trying to bring the improvised music and electroacoustic music to the kids age of 8 to 11. Luckily, during the implementation of a European project and network called Reimagine Europe, we met our partners A4 Next Festival and Sonic Acts, and we understood that we share the necessity, the need and will to contribute in building a different musical educational system, and that we share the thoughts. So we combined all of our experiences from before and we tried to build upon that and to create maybe something that would might sound utopian, but maybe lead towards some alternative musical educational schools or that could be even implemented into the system. And this is why I would say we all gathered, and then we tried to spread this whole large, broadened and diversified field of experimental music, experimental sound, that is really not that easy to be defined anyhow in the first place. We tried to divide it into a different fields and different later on educative modules. I think that the consortium also understood who is most experienced in which field And the aim of the project was not only to research the new pedagogical methods, how to work with kids and with young people in the field of experimental sound, but also how to transfer the knowledge not only to them, but also among ourselves, so that we can also learn one from each other what was our experience of working with kids of 9 and 10 years old, what was later our experience working with kids of 13, 14 years, and how we could all benefit and bring some new knowledge and experiences and skills to our local communities.
Well, Lucas, as I can understand, you are part of Sonic Acts. My notion is that in the Western Europe there is a little bit maybe more tradition about about this kind of education or learning. What do you bring to this trio, or what is your role in?
Well, I think we do have in the Netherlands some education that is less traditional in terms of sound studies. Although, yeah, you can always argue about even more modern versions of educational sound. They somehow seem to be rooted in tradition quite quickly, and they solidify or think of the field they operate in as a canon that is somewhat finished and only needs reflection and refinement, and so new ideas are always difficult to enter the educational system, I think. But if we compare it in Europe, I think in the Netherlands arts education is a bit more modernized and maybe a bit more open to new influences, but still it is far behind on what is actually happening outside the art schools. So the real world is in a very different place than what is happening inside the art schools. And I think one other problem with education, formal education, is that you need to be enrolled. So you are either in or out, and there is very little education that, for instance, accommodates artists or enthusiasts who maybe have a job or have a very busy life, and so this binary idea of either you're studying or you are working, I think, is a very silly model for education in the 21st century, because we have been told from very early on that during a lifetime of anybody, the world changes very rapidly. We all know this is happening. And so what is required from anybody working in whatever field, they need to update their skills. They maybe need to change job. They need to change profession. So that means kind of retraining and rethinking what you do. And that's just an external aspect. There is also, I think, especially in the artistic community, internal motivation. You really like to learn new things, new tools, new techniques, new insights. So I think in that sense, the educational system as a whole is failing completely. It's really failing society already in a traditional sense. And then on top of that, it's failing everybody who is not in the system. So we, with Sonic X, started organizing workshops maybe 10 or 12 years ago, but mostly by artists for artists or enthusiasts or only more recently we got interested in also thinking a bit ahead, let's say. So if you start to educate younger people who are maybe in their teens or maybe even younger, then you really, you're teaching the future, right? So it's not so much anymore about you learn something today and you can apply it tomorrow. But if you start to train young people, you really start to think about the next generation. And for us, if you think about how can we add something to the educational system or to the next generation, the earlier you start, the better. It's the future makers, it's the future audience. So it's important to also try to add to that, because otherwise there will be no next generation interested in these kind of artistic experiments. So I think that's, for us, an important part why we thought, we like to do this project specifically with a younger audience in mind. So I am director of Sonic Acts, but I was trained as an artist and I still have a somewhat active practice. It's a bit less active because running an arts organization is quite time consuming, but I have been working for Sonic Acts now for 20 years.
Slavo Krekovic, can you tell us a little bit about your side and what is your role in this project?
Yes, so I was responsible for A4's artistic content, and we chose to focus on, or to, as a follow-up, to develop a module or two, which would be working with kids of age 16 to 20 years old, and we try to design a module that would combine programming and sound in some way, but in a real-time context, so that the participants would be able to write code and produce some kind of music or visuals, a method that is called live coding. And we managed to put a nice group of people together who then were able to learn under the leadership of Fero Kirai, who was the workshop leader for a year and a half. And we had two modules, and also we tried out different options of working with sound within a virtual environment, working with spatial sound, and also collaborating online with participants who were not physically present, but they were still able to somehow create music and live visuals together. So I think this was a really nice experience, and also the people who came together in this way, we had to find them, but then they managed to form a group that was actually able to perform live, and we had several live coding concerts or performances, so they are all very enthusiastic, and they were all very much surprised by the new tools that they learned to use. And I think it looks really promising that they would just continue to produce music in very innovative and unexpected ways and collaborate together.
Based on these three organizations working together, what is maybe interesting for you from to hear or to see from the other sides of this project?
Well, I would say all the conclusions and the methods that we kind of managed to build, to share those, was already important and useful for us. I mean, for example, we were working in a different field, so to say, although it all belongs to one large field of experimental sound, but as Slava said, they were mostly focused on live coding processes, while Container was focused in one module, it was collectiveness, so it was collective sound creation, and in the focus of that workshop and that educative module was how could we create a band of teenagers age 13, 14, how could we introduce them to the electronic music devices and electronic music as such. And of course, and the next one was field recording and spatial sound for a bit older young people, age 16 to 20. And of course, I mean, I would say that this whole project was still partly a pilot for ourselves also. So we were really investigating how to work with those young people, what is their concentration, what is their focus, how do we get their attention, how do we get them hooked on a new music, on an experimental sound. So I would say that all conclusions that we came with were really useful to be shared among partners, because then we also understood how we could make our education a bit better or deeper, or which are the elements that leads us to what we would say successful workshop. And then we understood, okay, for this age group you have to work shorter sessions, but then you should insist on the continuity. This is how you build their commitment. How do you teach those young people, teenagers, how to listen to each other, how to listen to the music, especially nowadays when being all of us a bit out of focus. So all these tiny elements are really crucial to make it work.
Yeah, I think for us, what we really learned from both the other two partners is how a longer running educational trajectory. So A4 did, I think, almost a year with a group of young people, and Container did multiple months. For us, that was super inspiring. We thought, that offers something very different from what we have done so far, because our workshops were very short, 1 to 3 days. Of course, there was a reason why we did short workshops, but when you see the end result, we thought, that is something to for the future to look into. Can we also organize something like that? Because you bring something very or you create something very different, and so what you give the participants of the workshop is not just the education itself, but there also starts to emerge a certain new social understanding, for instance. So you learn and implement and learn and implement, and so it becomes something more than just a tool or some knowledge, but it has a social aspect, which is very if you think back, of course makes sense. A lot of education is about social as well. It's not just knowledge. So how do you together listen, right? That is something, if you only spend a very short amount of time together, you will never learn how to do that properly. How do you make something together in the moment? You have to practice, and then you have to talk about it. Maybe argue a bit, and then again, right?
So how do you see this non-formal education in the future?
Well, I wouldn't say we have a very, very precise and clear system already in our heads. I think there is a long path ahead of us still. But also, I do believe that we are somewhat on the right path. It could be a network of different workshops that could be combined in a system. I do believe that we could build these alternative music schools, but I don't really have very clear, like a grid, how should it look like already now.
Do you think it will get into the sphere of like formal education later, or do you think it's something which is like?
Well, in Croatia, I guess not that soon. Okay. It will depend on specific local communities.
Yeah, but also, on the other hand, for instance, in our case, Ferokira is already part of a formal educational system because he's teaching at the Fine Art Academy, and so it's not so distant from each other, like these two sectors maybe, and there is an overlap, and especially if people know each other, then it's good that something will maybe be taken up by the official institutions, and it's important to have these independent labs or some places where the current artistic things are also happening in the educational sphere.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm also external lecturer at the Fine Art Academy, and this is also what happens in Zagreb. But what I meant was more of sustainability and maybe financial side of this whole problem. Because now, after these 2 years, we kind of left those young people and kids again nowhere. I mean, especially for those who are not really empowered just to continue performing as a solo artist or in a band or something, but they do feel a need to continue, and they don't really have, I mean, they still do need the support. I mean, for example, this is our experience after working with those kids, 13, 14 years old. Now they are 15, they're still not ready to just among themselves, just to rent a studio each Saturday night and just to create a music there. They still do need some external support, motivation and knowledge transfer and some backup. Mm-hmm. I do hope that maybe in a year or two they're already adult enough. That's already the age when you are creating a band in high school and stuff like that. So and then we come to the question, okay, how we can build the system that we support those kids, that we give them further development of their artistic practice to become.
How is it in the Netherlands?
Well, I think there's a few things that we learned by doing this project and also looking into the future. So I think one development that is happening in the Netherlands, and I think it will, if it did not already start, will soon also start in the rest of Europe, is that within arts organizations there is a huge amount of knowledge, but it's not made shareable. So arts organizations do not have the time or the means to make the knowledge that they develop something that others can also use. And so you can say that is a very inefficient way of going about, because it means that all these organizations have to start from rock bottom each time. And so it's a huge waste of resources. Yeah, so I think that is something in general that we now start to see change. In the Netherlands, there are now a lot of pilot projects where the focus is not so much on arts production, but on knowledge production within the arts domain. And so new ways of working, new ways of collaborating, so all sorts of things that have been brewing are now slowly becoming packaged as something of knowledge that should be shareable within the wider community. So if you think about how does this work in the academic world, if you get public money to do research, you write the research paper and the paper becomes public. that is a good way, that public money also leads to public knowledge. And I think this is something that we should also start to do within the arts world. Public money should lead to public knowledge. Then if you think about the future of education, I think the development in society is such that people stay shorter and shorter in the same job with the same employer. So that means more and more people will change job, need to learn new things. So the demand for new types of education will grow. We are not prepared for this at all as a society. So this is something where formal education has a big role to play in starting to open up, find new modes of teaching for those who are not part of their system for 1 to 4 years. So, and since they don't have the means for it, or the room, I think this piloting happens with organizations like ours. But as you already heard, a lot of people do work in both domains. And so, of course, this will spill in both directions. And I do hope that this will change soon, because I find it ridiculous that whenever you think, I would love to know more about something, you have to go to a commercial party where you pay excessive amounts of money for shitty knowledge. And then the public institutes, they say, if you want, you have to enroll for a year or 2 years or 4 years. So that doesn't make any sense to me. It should be that if you want to learn about something, you should also be able to say, okay, I'm going to do that in a week. And you've learned something which you can incorporate in your practice. It can be theoretical, can be applied. And that means a total reworking of the educational system, because it means the target group is not 4 to 18 or 4 to 22. No. What we do is, with this project, we have attempted to make the workshop something you can transfer to somebody else, and somebody else can read the manual and teach it as well. This is also something that formal education is not doing to us. So we cannot go to formal education and say, hey, can I get your teaching system so I can use it outside, right? That would also be normal, because it is financed with public money. So it would be good if everybody could use the materials they use and produce there.
Yes, so one of the ideas of the project from the beginning was that there should be some way of sharing the, not just the results, but also to actually prepare ways in which other people could use the knowledge and design their own educational courses or workshops in this domain. And so there are not only descriptions of the modules we developed together, but also some tutorials and how-tos, so that possible and potential educators working with young people could just have a look and try it out for themselves, which is a quite experimental way of sharing sharing the knowledge. And I'm really curious if somebody would just pick it up. And there is also a separate section which people can try out, and it's a common shared 3D virtual space that was also used for some gatherings and artistic outputs of the workshops and sharing, and people could meet there as avatars. And so this is one of the results of the project as well, and this will continue to be accessible on the website.
There was also this camp.
Yes, the
camp. Can you tell us a little bit about this?
The youth camp was one of our project activities, and it happened in Croatia, in Hrvatsko Zagorje region. We gathered students from Bratislava, who attended A4's workshops together with Zagreb students that attended our spatial sound and field recording workshops. And the Netherlands group was participating online. We also gathered Fero Kirali as a mentor of A4 module, Davorsan Vincenti and Hrvoje Nikšić, multimedia artists and producers and mentors from Zagreb, and Andreas Kune, who was leader of Sonic Acts workshops. And the idea was, of course, to gather there for 3 days to share our experiences and, more important, their experiences. We tried to create a program that was supposed to be for the students interesting and inspiring. We didn't want to recreate the workshops themselves, because we understood the importance of the duration, as said a couple of times in this conversation. But we also wanted to give to Zagreb group at least the feeling and the entrance to the live coding world. So kind of a shortcut or trying to get them hooked on this field as well. So it was more of an intense 3 days program that combined all three approaches that were implemented during the modules. And it was a lot of fun.
You can, if you have something you want to share now, or
everybody should go to soundsweird.org and at least listen to some of the materials that are there. There's a lot of sound files from all the workshops you can listen to. It has really nice. It's a really nice place to dig in if you are interested in something like non-formal learning. Of course, what we did is an experiment, right? So we did 6 attempts how to have artists teach the next generation a thing or two about their practice. How can you think differently about your relationship with the world? So it's a, and I think it's a very helpful starting point, let's say, but everybody should use it to their advantage. You can pick and choose. You can also wholeheartedly disagree with the approaches and figure out your own. But I think it's an interesting and inspirational starting point if you are interested in one of these domains or the two, sound art and the next generation.
Musicians of the future.
Musicians of the future.
Tvorbu tohto podcastu podporil Fond na podporu umenia a nadácia mesta Bratislavy.